not doing anything until the lights come on. I can dance. Nah, it took too long. I'm going home. Wow, how beautiful was that worship? You can take that as a question or a rhetorical question. It's okay. It's great to see people masked, unmasked, here in person, by faith, at home, online. So good to be together. And I'm really excited today to continue this series on prayer. And to see faces, people visiting, people we haven't seen for a while, see you regulars. It's so good to be together. And, you know, our prayer is that we, the church, the people, not the building, would shine with the light of Christ wherever we are. Amen. So we're praying that for you, believing that for you in your workplace, in your home, in your family, wherever you would be. And I hope today encourages you. And today we continue to talk about prayer, today contemplation and listening. And we're going to extend this series on prayer, because I think there's some really important things to talk about. If you are new to Gateway, whether here or online, my name is Tim and I have the privilege of serving as the senior pastor here along an incredible team of people who we are so blessed to have here at Gateway. I want to give a shout out first. Our associate pastor of Generations and Families, Prudy Clark, is downstairs ministering to our kids, overseeing our kids team, and it is her birthday tomorrow. So, can I encourage you? Encouragement is good. So touch base with her, encourage her. We all need encouragement at this moment, and we really value her really immeasurable investment in us as a church, but in all of us. She goes far and above what we employ her to do. Amen? Church, I want to celebrate as Zeke did. He did a great job hosting. First time in person from this platform, I think. Yeah.
I did it once when I was 16.
There you go. And he talked about giving. And I want to thank you. I want to celebrate your generosity. You know, we would rather people give because they want to give out of response to what God is doing than being manipulated, coerced, obliged. If that's where you're at, don't give. Go to God first. Talk to him about what it is he wants you to do with your finances. But we do believe that we are to submit our finances to the Lord, like every blessing is from him. So I want to celebrate, again, against trends. Gateway's finances are trending 3 to 5% up again. And what does that mean? Well, immediately, I don't know if you know, but we have a 10% fund, which means that 10% of anything that comes in is allocated only for mission outside of Gateway. Can never be used for anything else, and it has to be gospel-driven mission. And we recently just doubled our support to our five main mission partners. It is an incredible privilege to sit as a leadership team and go, well, God's providing the finances. We want to support these people. We're just going to double it. And everyone's like, yeah, we should do that. Let's just do it. Sign off. Go. Bang. And what's incredible is we are trending to be able to give at minimum from this 10%, $40,000 in mission. That doesn't include what we give locally and strategically to local partnerships like Food Share, who we give to as well. And I am just so incredibly astounded by what God is doing. This goes against every trend. And I want to thank you for your generosity and thank you that we just keep praying for the wisdom to steward this resource well. Amen?
Amen.
Church, I wonder if you would stand with me. And thanks. I know sometimes it's like, I don't want to do that. Compassion, who is a mission organization, have this great tagline that I read recently, and it was, be a global neighbor. Now, we could talk about what it means to be a neighbor. We'll do that another day. We've done it before. We'll do it a lot going forward. But today, I want to encourage us to be a global neighbor and to be prayerful and to not stand in the reactionary position or the defensive position, but stand in an offensive position. I know that right now, as Christians, we might go to a passage of scripture that talks about you hear rumors of wars, about wars and rumors of wars. Well, right now, there's a war happening. It's not the only war. It's not the only conflict in the world, but it's certainly one that we want to stand up and pray into, just as we do in many other moments. And in all of our prayer meetings, we are always doing that, contending. We are adoring God. We are contending in prayer. We are asking God to move. And you know what? Gateway, if you know what I mean by this, we kind of embrace like a low church model. It's not a negative. It's not a bad. It's that I'm not up here with a priest collar on, am I? No. We often don't do call response kind of liturgical stuff, but it has a great place in the history of the church. And today I wonder if we can pray through something that's been provided by Peter Grieg, who oversees the prayer course and 24/7 prayer globally. We recently had a lady from Red Church who has started to oversee it for Australia, and they provided a resource to churches. And I'd love if we can pray through this, because regardless of the reasons for war, the reality is that the innocent get hurt, don't they? And so the church is there on the ground, helping in a way that is often countercultural. People want to fight. Well, what about fighting for justice? What about fighting for marginalized? What about being there to help in spite of danger? That's where the church is. And we can stand here not doing nothing. I think there will be opportunities to give financially and to help practically, but we're going to start in prayer. Amen? Because we're allowed to be righteously angry about the things that impact those who cannot fight for themselves, who cannot look after themselves. So why don't we do that? Can we pray?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do, there's a person named Kyrie in the middle, and thank you, Hannah. Can we go to the next slide? What we might do, we're going to read the first block together, then I'll say this, and then we'll read all of that together. And it's repetitious, but that's not a bad thing. All through Scripture, we see the repeating of content over and over again because it's worth saying. And as we repeat it, it often speaks to us as we minister to God and ask Him to move. So I think there's maybe three or four more slides. So let's start together. Father God, King of all nations, we cry out to you now for the people of Ukraine. We ask you to rescue those who are vulnerable from the hands of their enemies, that they may live without fear before you all their days. Lord, have mercy. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Lord of lords and Prince of Peace, our politicians are predicting the biggest war in Europe since 1945. And we simply cry out to you urgently to write another story in our time. Thwart the dark machinations of men. Give wisdom beyond human wisdom to peacemakers seeking an equitable and less violent way. May politicians exercise the wisdom from above, which is peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, and full of mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Holy Spirit, we pray for the church in Ukraine, a nation in which 70% of the population call themselves Christian. Give our many brothers and sisters in that nation courage in this crisis, that they may proclaim the good news of your kingdom. Bind up broken hearts and bring comfort to all who mourn. Lord, have mercy. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. You, Lord, make wars cease to the end of the earth. You break bows, shatter spears, and burn shields with fire. And so we ask you now to save the lives of many people in Ukraine. Make a peace that is strong and not weak. De-escalate this crisis. We hear wars and rumors of wars. But you, Lord, are our rock, our fortress, and our deliverer. Our hope is in you. And so we address the nations now. In the name of Jesus, we say, be still and know God. He is exalted among the nations. He shall be exalted in the earth. Lord, have mercy. Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. Amen. Amen, church. You can be seated. And we're praying for the Ukraine, but we pray for Russia as well. And I don't know if you've seen, but there's incredible video content of Ukrainian and Russian Christians praying and worshiping together. That is the church. Amen. We set our minds on things above, not below. So good. Prayer is where we start. Thank you for praying that with me. Thank you for being here today. I'm excited for what we're going to talk about. In the stages of relationships, the way we communicate often serve as markers for where we're at. What do I mean by that? In friendships, long-term friendships, in romance, in courting, to use an old term, in marriage, we often come to a time with the idea of this. This is my wife, Elise, and I'm here, she's there. And we'll be in the car for a long trip, and we've come to a time where we can sit in silence and no one has to talk and it's okay. We're comfortable in that space. I think she's comfortable in that space. I hate it. I could listen to her sing all the time, but I want to talk about stuff. Why am I telling you this? Because contemplation and listening are not easy for me. I want to talk. And I do want to hear as well. I mean, maybe you should get up here next week and be like, let me give you the other side of this. I love talking, and there are sometimes where Lisa's like, isn't it nice to have silence? I'm like, hint taken. I also love insight into us. I love music being on, but we have three little boys, and so sometimes silence is marvelous. But Elise's phone is with the Bluetooth, is connected to the car. And I'm like, DJ, you are terrible at your job. But it's because she just likes sitting in the silence, being with me. So I've got a lot to work on. It is this space that I want to talk to you today. And we're going to start in John chapter 10. Now, we're going through this course in Connect Groups, and there's also Thursday night that I really commend to you that Karen, one of our elders and our staff members, is overseeing. So come on in. She leads that. It's a wonderful place, because don't we all need to grow and be equipped and encouraged in our prayer life? Yeah. So I encourage you, take notes. I've really tried to summarize and bring this down as much as I could. So let's have a look at John 10, verses 1 through 5. Jesus' words, New Living Translation, says this. I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate, sheep pen, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Okay. Again, I've been eating a good bit of food, and this section of the stage likes to talk to me when I walk on it. We might do something about that. Hey. Today's title, Truth Goes Through the Front Gate. Truth goes through the front gate. I wonder if you know the metaphor that we are called as the church, every Christian believer, as the bride of Christ. And so therefore, the groom is Jesus. And he ministers to us. He has given his very life for us, which is the analogy of husbands to wives. And he's going to return, isn't he? For us. And so we want to be ready. We want to be prepared. And that, again, is a message for another day. In this, Jesus is the gatekeeper. And I started thinking about gatekeepers, and I started thinking about bride and groom and romance. And who knows, quite often in movies, we see this like teenage romance. And, you know, stereotypically, the gatekeeper for a daughter is her father. But what do we see? We see the boyfriend climb up the back trellis and go in the back window. Why? Because he's not supposed to be there. And I mean, dads of daughters, are you all going to give me an amen? What would you rather have happen? You want the honorable quarter of your daughter, I didn't mean to do that, sorry, to go to the front door and to shake your hand, look you in the eye, earn your trust, do the right thing, not disrespect you, not disrespect your daughter, certainly not be going up the back trellis. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's going, hey, there are people trying to court you, to win you to them, to their voice, which is not Jesus, and they're not even going through me to get to you, because in this analogy, Jesus is all characters, except for the sheep. That's us. And so Jesus is really, in this context, talking to people who knew all about shepherding and sheep. And he's talking to religious leaders of the day who were hypocritical. None of us are perfect. But they were very, very religious. They were very legalistic. And they weren't going through Jesus. And certainly Jesus wasn't giving them permission to shepherd his people under him, the shepherd. And so what should a pastor be? Well, a pastor should be someone who goes to Jesus through the front gate because Jesus lets him or her and shepherds appropriately the people under Christ and points them not to themselves but to Christ. These are the ways that we grow in maturity and we discern who to listen to and who not to. And so Jesus is the gate. He's also the gatekeeper. He's the good shepherd. He's the savior of the world. He actually, in this sense, he holds himself open to us and to those who don't yet know him. We are the sheep. And anyone who jumps that fence, I mean, one, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So there's no point jumping the fence. But if you try to jump the fence to get to the sheep, you're a wolf. You're not a voice that sheep who know the voice of Jesus will listen to or follow. So it's so important that we know the voice of Jesus, isn't it? Isn't it? And then what happens? Verse 9 says something so wonderful. When we are these sheep, Jesus himself says, they will come and go freely and will find good pastures. Church is not about coming and receiving therapy or coming and receiving good feelings. But certainly we have a God who wants to look after us, don't we? But he has set us free from all the things that would keep us captive, not for our own sake, but to be in service to others. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus is the only way. He gathers, he walks ahead, he leads out of the world, but at the same time into a world to help it. And when he speaks, his sheep know his voice. They won't listen to a stranger. And I want to say today that Jesus is the only certain voice when all other voices are uncertain. We need to be more discerning, which is to be mature. And I'm going to explain exactly what that means. Because just because someone is confident in what they say or has a good presence or can communicate well in a winsome way, and they're whatever you might say, like they're good looking, they're compelling, they connect with you, they're witty, it doesn't make them right or certain or someone you should follow. So as a pastor, test what I say. Because if I can't say that, I don't deserve to stand here. And I only stand here because Jesus has allowed me to stand here for the time he allows me to stand here. It is in service to others to point people to Christ. Hey, let me kind of reach to your heart a little bit. Don't you wish, whether you know Jesus or not today, don't you wish you could focus your thoughts on something that brings you peace? Absolutely. And that has answers to the biggest challenges in your life. Even better, calls you to and equips you to respond to the biggest challenges in serving not your own interests, but to serve others. That's the difference. The first part is like, oh, great, this is going to make my life better. It's to be in service to others. And so let's look at a couple of questions around contemplation and listening. And I want to say that these things are central to the church's spiritual life throughout history. Not the church as an institution, not the church as a building, the church as a body of believers who are walking with Jesus, listening to his voice. So contemplation and listening. Number one, everyone say number one. What are the differences? Are there any differences? You might be like, Xander, what are the differences? Please come up and tell us. Number two, how do we learn to both hear and discern the voice of God? What does that mean? How do we know it's God speaking and not our imagination? Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? Yeah. There's some really practical answers to this. So let's have a look. In Matthew 6, Jesus is teaching on prayer. So let's start at contemplation. And we're looking at Matthew 6, which is kind of the shortened version of the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus says in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so contemplative prayer is just this. Lord, it's about you. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not thinking about me. I'm doing what I need to do to get my thoughts off me and anything that's around here and all onto you. I don't know if you're scared of the word meditation. It certainly carries with it a lot of Eastern kind of religious philosophical connotations. But let me just say here, Eastern meditation is generally, and I'm not well versed in this, but I know enough, is generally empty yourself and kind of find enlightenment. Christian meditation is think on Jesus. That's it. It is not rocket science, is it? But I think we don't often give it time to actually take us where God wants to, which is where we're going to land at the end of this message. And so we meditate, we think on, we contemplate on Jesus. Different things might help you. I mean, you might walk, you are welcome to come in and stand in front of that cross and that sign, stand up on your knees. I should have got Ian to do different positions and tests. You don't have to. Sit down. You're welcome to come and do that if that's what helps you contemplate, meditate on Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you what happens out of that contemplation that I think often we are sorely missing. And those, you know, 7:30 a.m. prayer time on a Tuesday, midday, 12:30 on a Wednesday. Bring your lunch. Chill in front of the cross. Think about Jesus. And you've got to do it for a while. Why? When you go, who when you get to the cinema to watch a movie is just ready for the movie? There's nothing else you're thinking about. This is the analogy, and it's one that comes from Pete Greig, who put the course together. I don't know about you, but when I get there, I'm thinking, I forgot to do this, I've got to do that. This is what's happening tomorrow. Oh, I forgot to have that meeting. What am I doing wasting my time being in a movie? And after a while, your focus shifts off your thoughts onto the narrative, the story, and you start to get a bit more immersed in it, and the things of the cinema grow strangely dim in the light of the movie or whatever. Unless the movie, oh, we won't go there, unless it's bad, and then, you know, then you go, this is rubbish, and I don't believe this, and I'm not immersed, and that's the problem. That's when you know a movie's not good. But you've got to stay there long enough for that to happen. It's exactly the same thing. It will feel initially exactly the same. There's a reason that stories invite us in and we become immersed in the characters, because it's part of God's design for us. And it's what Scripture brings first. As the first book, as the first compilation, the first library, really, if we look at it that way. Worship does this. We take the focus off ourselves and onto God. We walk in thinking, coffee, I'm tired, whatever it might be. Ah, it's too hot, it's too cold, whatever it is. And I hope over time, your worship brings you out of those thoughts and into this worshipful space, focus on God. It's experiential. We experience God. What are the one of the ways we experience God's presence is peace. Peace is more profound than just a good feeling. But it also feels good, doesn't it? It's okay that it feels good. That's not just a feeling. Peace is part of the presence of God. Psalm 19 talks about the fact that as sons and daughters of God through Jesus, it's our inheritance, that He is the meditation of our heart. So don't be scared of this term meditation. But my question to anybody when they talk about meditation is I just go like, what are you meditating on? Don't meditate on a tree, meditate on Jesus. Don't meditate on yourself, meditate on Jesus. A symptom of not doing this, loss of clarity, double-minded. When we contemplate, we receive a refueling and a clarification of our call, mission, commission, whatever it is, wherever you are. Because God has a call on your life, wherever you are, in the church building, in your workplace, at home, with your family, whatever it might be, whether you are 7 years old or you're 77 or you're anywhere in between and above. How are we doing? All right, contemplation. Everyone say listening. Okay, listening. This is where we answer question two. How do we know I'm not just talking myself into stuff? It's not my imagination, because we all dream dreams, don't we? Some less crazy than others. Some are walking around during the day dreaming dreams. Some people really need to talk to someone about those dreams. Possibly never act on those dreams. Whatever it might be. I say this tongue in cheek. But God will speak to us in many different ways, including dreams. But we need to have a framework in order to go, is this God? Is this me? When someone else tells me it's God, is it God? This is a place that God calls us into, and we can have clarity around this. So verse 11 in Matthew 6, give us today our daily bread. I think often people are like, yeah, I need to eat. And yes, you do. That is not only what this is about. Okay, so listening, prayer. Relationship requires both speaking and listening. And we were created to do just that. I don't know how you start your day. Maybe you're a morning person, maybe you're not. Maybe you're a naturally highly disciplined person. Maybe you find habits, changing habits, just sticking to anything really hard. It's great that God will help us, isn't it? Because we all need it. It doesn't matter who we are. There are kind of pros and cons of both kind of personalities. I love this quote from Nikki Gumbel, who heads up Alpha. He says this, I start each day by reading the Bible, as I believe it's more important that Jesus speaks to me than I speak to him. How profound is that? Hey. is more important that Jesus speaks to us than we to him. But he also wants us to speak to him. But if your faith walk, your spiritual life, your prayer life is dry, start there. Start hearing from Jesus before any other thought comes in or you start to formulate any thoughts. And I think we've got to present the challenge in our time. And to Christians, this should be particularly a challenge. There was a journalist, I don't know exactly who it is, but he says this, or she, atheism is the religion of the busy. So Christian, you cannot fall into this. There's a lot for us to be doing, but busyness for the sake of busyness, for the sake of distraction, that ultimately causes us not to have any kind of ultimately communion with God is not what God has called us to. So what do we have to do? We have to slow down and soften up. And you might be going, yeah, I need to do both. I need to slow down and soften up. Or you might be like, my heart's really soft. I know it is, but I need to slow down. Or vice versa, you're moving so hard and fast and you've been through the ringer so much that your heart is so hard. Man, nothing is getting in there. And I'd almost say nothing is getting out, but unfortunately what Scripture says is guard your heart above all else because everything comes out of it. So if you're hard-hearted, I got to tell you, stuff is coming out and it's not good. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you. It's our vision of stay from the beginning of the year. We're invited to stay in God. We're invited to stay soft-hearted. And we're invited to stay together. Staying together is hard. Because if we have our own selfish way, we can only stay together for a certain amount of time until something happens, someone does something. And we're just like, nah, I've had enough. The church can only stay together when we're sheep listening to Christ the shepherd. Amen. Pastor Prudy, who's downstairs, birthday tomorrow, she said this, I want to move forward and be refreshed in my prayer life. Your prayer life should be refreshing. Your work with Christ, work and walk with Christ should be refreshing. And here's the reality of that passage of Scripture, Matthew 6, give us today our daily bread. If we're not listening to God, we spiritually starve. But it has literal implications and symptoms in our lives because we're starved of the presence and voice of God. Therefore, no peace, no leading, no direction. We don't know what's going on. We're tossed to and fro, and we don't even have the wisdom to understand when someone tells us something compelling, but it's absolute rubbish. Because Jesus is the truth, not a truth, the truth. Don't take what I'm saying and politicize it. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about hearing from God and walking as a Christian who has their mind set on things above, not any of the stuff that we might be thinking about. A spirit-led life in which we are soft-hearted and we're obedient and we're available and we don't walk past opportunity that God wants us to be in. I know this is challenging, but here's what happens. Matthew 4, Jesus says in response to temptation, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. I feel like I sometimes prioritize getting my morning coffee over hearing the voice of God and listening to him. Is that okay if I tell you that? I wake up and my mind's going, coffee. There's good coffee at church. There's good coffee at home. Oh, we ran out of coffee beans. but I will never starve literally and spiritually from not having coffee. I might be angry for a week, but I'll be all right. But this is our very life. I mean, let me just talk about this for a little bit longer. God has created us all differently, amen? We can be unified, but not uniform, and stronger for that. And not just at one church, but the church. People might be like, why are there so many churches? Well, because we're all different. I mean, you send a whole bunch of people into an ice creamery, they're not all going to choose the same flavor, will they? Sometimes it's just as clear as that. But we got to be about the same thing together. So we hear from God differently. There are some fundamentals, absolutely. I think no Christian can live without reading the Bible for themselves, and I'll tell you why in a sec. No Christian can live without prayer. Worship is an outcome of realizing who God is, and it's not just singing. But certainly people hear from God in worship. They hear from God through music. They hear from God when they see creation and nature. They hear from God, like me, in the shower. They hear from God when they're eating. Oh my gosh, this food is so good. Thank you, Lord. Oh, that's a good idea. Food, things, these things are a blessing from the Lord. Children, man, they're a big job, but they are a blessing from the Lord. When we focus on God, and I don't know if anyone in here has, I haven't, but people hear audible voice, God's audible voice speaking to them. Think about how you hear from God. And I want to encourage you to explore that, but I want to give you a challenge again. Jesus is the voice that you want to, need to, primarily base your Christian walk on. He tore a veil so that there was nothing separating us from God the Father, which is incredible. But if you know your history, you would know that before that, a priest had to go in on behalf of like us normal people and be in the presence of God. If you only ever listen to sermons or someone else's explanation of a passage of scripture and you never read the Bible for yourself and you never pray, you are missing out. There's no middle ground. There's no like, put scripture and prayer before your favorite preacher, your favorite worship song, whatever it is. God wants to and deserves to be first. Does that make sense? I think people are still living this Christian life like the veil exists and some priest has to go on your behalf. You don't need that. Jesus didn't die for that to be your relationship with him. He's the gate. He's the gatekeeper. He's the good shepherd. He's the savior of the world. He's your Lord and Savior. Hey, look, don't we love to compare? I mean, we're not careful. Comparison just creeps in. And so people like, that person hears from the Lord better than I can. I wish I heard from the Lord that way. I wish I heard from the Lord full stop. Why doesn't my gifting look like that person's? We just get into this comparison thing. But all of that goes when we focus on Jesus. Don't compare. Some seem more spiritual. Some seem more practical. Don't compare. All right. I'm going to ask Ian to come up in a moment. We're going to share communion together, and the way we're going to do it is going to look a little bit different. How do we know it's God speaking and not our imagination? How do we know? Well, we need to work on this, and knowing is a sign of and part of our journey towards maturity. So let's work on it together. How are we doing? Have you got 5 minutes? Awesome. Philippians 1, 9 through 11 says this. Thanks, Ian. Come on up. And this is my prayer. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. That's the preparation of the bride, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So Paul's praying. He's saying, I want you to grow in this. To what? Our glory? The name of the church? We're not about building Gateway Church. We're about the glory and purposes of God. Amen. But it only comes when we're on this journey, and it's not secondhand. Like, we love coming together corporately to pray, to get updated, to worship like this, to hear a message. And I'm so thankful for an incredible preaching, teaching team that we have here whose gifts far outstrip mine. But we've got to grow together. And so how do we know it's not our imagination? How do we know when someone tells us, God told me to tell you, or I'm doing this because God told me? Some really simple things. Everyone say ABC. Who wanted to sing the song? I got little kids. I can't help it. All right, let's go. ABC acronym for how do I know it's not just my imagination. Number one, advice. Everyone say advice. Seek a wise, sane, I'm serious, and biblical Christian. I say this with all due respect, not just an old Christian. I've seen wisdom in people walking with Christ for 5 years that outstrips someone who's walked with him for 60. Seek a wise, sane, Bible-knowing, living Christian. Good? Yeah. All right, B. It must be in line with the Bible. God is not captive, but God has revealed his character, his purposes, what he will do, what he won't do in Scripture. And so we can know whether it lines up with the character and purpose of God by knowing the Bible, or by going to someone who knows the Bible and saying, hey. And I know that means we've got to be a bit vulnerable, but that's what community is. Everyone say common sense. What's the saying? There's nothing common about common sense. God created us and wants us to have common sense. Why don't we flip the script here a little bit? Having common sense when you A and B it is not leaning on your own understanding, is it? So, don't have common sense where you're only leaning on your own understanding, because God's plan is that you would be in Scripture, you would be in conversation with him, and then you would be speaking to wiser, biblically grounded people. When you've done all that stuff and then you act according to the common sense presented there, that's okay. What do we think? So many people are like, I can't lean on my own understanding. They've done all these things and they're still like, nah, still waiting for the audible voice of God. What happens if, like most people, you never hear that? You're just gonna sit there? But there's really clear steps for us to take. And then there's really strong language around what to do when that happens. James 1:22. What do you do when you hear? Do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Here's the challenge and the reality. And my door phone is open. I would love, like, if some of this is challenging you, or you're like, I don't even know what that means, come and talk to me. I reckon I can make you one of the top 10 coffees in Warrnambool. I don't want to say it's the best. Like, there's really good coffee in Warrnambool, but I think I'm in the top 10. Come in, have a coffee. Let's talk about it. because this is the most exciting conversation that you will ever have, and I love having it. But here's the challenge. Our love for God is measured by our obedience. It's one thing to sing the things we're scared to pray and to lift our hands, but ultimately, sacrifice comes when we deny ourselves and we're actually obedient to what God wants us to do, even when we don't. And church, right now, the world doesn't need a church that looks like the world. Actually, statistically, churches that look like the world are in the greatest decline in the church. Because people aren't looking for the same answers, they're looking for different answers. And Christianity answers them better than any other worldview framework. I mean, we're standing here going, we've got the truth. Not in an arrogant position, but in a very certain, confident in Jesus way. Amen? We're going to share communion. And if you don't have one, why don't you go up? This is Danny up the back. Go up and grab your communion elements. If you're at home, I don't know if you've got a cracker and some juice, or you've got bread and wine, or you've got coffee and a donut. If you do, text me, I'm coming over. The outcome of contemplation, thinking on God, is communion. The outcome of contemplation, thinking on God, is communion. There's going to be an invitation to be prayed for at the end. If you're just hearing about Jesus for the first time, then I'd love to talk to you. If you're here in person, come and chat with us. Go out to the Connect desk. If you're online, click on the Connect link under the stream. So you'll have a chance to bring, this is what I need prayer for. But right now, I want to encourage you. And this is what's going to happen. Ian's going to play. This is Ian. He's going to play for us as we take communion. And then he's going to stop. And we're going to have a couple of moments of silence. And then I'll pray and then give an invitation. And in here, there'll be a time of ministry and prayer and invitation to come. If you need to go and get your kids, if you need to go, that's okay. Stick around for a coffee. But in this moment, I invite you to think just on Christ, just on Jesus, on what he's done. And maybe as an outcome of that, what you then hear is God saying to you, I want you to walk a different way. I forgive you of this. I want you to forgive this. So let's do that. Ian's going to play, and we're going to share. Invite you to do that as you're ready. Then at some point, he'll stop. Don't panic. We're going to sit in silence, and then I'm going to pray. He'll play, invite people to pray. Let's share communion now. Let's pray together as we close. Lord, our prayer today, would you give us discipline to set aside time and then hearts who are willing to trust and surrender, to let go of the things that we're focusing on, Lord, and focus on you. Lord, that we might contemplate your majesty, your holiness, your righteousness. But Lord, that we wouldn't stop there. That Lord, that would shift into really intentional listening for your voice and your direction. And I pray for the person who's never experienced, Lord, because it is an experience, Lord, your presence or your voice through the many ways that we said. I pray you would speak to people in your word. You would speak to people in their prayer time. You would speak to people as they worship. You would speak to people as they work. Whatever it is that we're doing, Lord. And then, Lord, I pray for a willingness for all of us to not just hear and do nothing, but to respond with action. The criticism of contemplation is that it never produces action. But Lord, you invite us into contemplation, and in response we listen, and in response we do. Lord, we thank you that all of that is in response to what you have already done. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Awesome. Ian's going to keep playing. If you need to leave, that's fine. It's been great to see you. But if you'd love prayer, Tess, Elise, and I will be down here at the front. It's totally confidential. We'd love to pray with you and for you. But be invited to go out, have a coffee, have some community. It's great to be together. See you again soon.